There is a theory among experts tackling the opioid epidemic. It won't end until the U.S. makes treatment as easy to find as the drugs. An oversized white medical van that parks on the streets of Boston could become a model. Martha Biebinger from member station WBUR reports.
An unusual trio of street outreach workers and a physician hop off what's known as the Care Zone van. They hoist backpacks loaded with clean needles, Narcan, sandwiches, and basic first aid. The first stop is a small camp of sleeping bags and cardboard bedding under a concrete bridge.
People do get high on the other side here, but if you want to just take a look at what we're talking about.
Sarah Mackin checks one guy who's breathing, but so deeply sedated or asleep, he's difficult to rouse. Mackin's partner, Phil Ribeiro, tucks a ham sandwich into the guy's bag.
Leave him a sandwich, a little bit of love, and keep him moving. On to the next.
Mackin and Ribeiro, veteran members of the Boston Public Health Commission's Needle Exchange Program, are familiar faces out here and typically make the first contact with an occupied sleeping bag. Dr. Jesse Gaeta with Boston Healthcare for the Homeless Program approaches once it's clear that a new face will not send the person back into hiding.
We're trying to let people know that we're not there to arrest them, we're not there to clean up their encampment, to kick them out. All we want to know is, do we have something that you need and want? And if we do, great.
But these prospective patients describe feeling shunned by doctors. So it can take weeks of stopping by with a sandwich or clean needles before they'll let Gaeta check their blood pressure or an oozing injection wound.
And so we gradually build relationship that way.
Earning a patient's trust is just the first hurdle. Here's the potholed path to treatment for a woman Gaeta met about a year ago near Downtown Crossing. It's one of four overdose hotspots where the van stops each week.
I was talking with a woman in an alleyway, and she was interested in trying Suboxone. She's very sick.
In a quick check with her stethoscope, Gaeta can hear heart trouble.
So we're going to walk a few blocks to the van.
The woman went to a detox program and started Suboxone, a less potent opioid that cuts cravings for stronger drugs. The woman relapsed, and Gaeta lost track of her. Now the woman reappears, and Gaeta ushers her into the van's mini-exam room. We'll just use her first name, Bree, because she uses illegal drugs. Bree tells Gaeta she overdosed a few days ago while on a bus from Boston to New Hampshire.
The bus driver, thank God, had Narcan. Mm-hmm. If the bus driver did not have Narcan, I don't think that I would be here.
Okay. Yeah.
Bree slides onto a shortened exam table while Gaeta checks her heart.
Oh, Bree, I'm so glad you're here, because it sounds like last week was hell, what you went through.
Yeah.
Bree has had a heart valve infection that's common among injection drug users.
I can tell from examining your neck veins and other things, your legs, that the swelling is less.
Right.
This is Friday. Gaeta asks Bree to come back to the van on Monday for more blood work.
Again. Okay. That would be the potassium check.
Yeah, the potassium and the kidneys. Yep. Okay. Mostly, I want to make sure you make it through the weekend to see me on Monday.
Okay.
Gaeta wants Bree to start Suboxone again right away. But there's a problem. Bree is homeless. She does not want to make the transition from fentanyl to Suboxone, a partial withdrawal that brings on fever and nausea while on a sidewalk or some park bench. In 2 days on Sunday, she can crash at a friend's place.
I can be there all day on Sunday, so when I'm not feeling well, I can just stay in bed.
Gaeta is worried about this plan, but Bree won't check into a residential program. Gaeta takes both Bree's hands and looks her in the eye.
You just had an overdose last week, so that's why we've done a lot of planning for the next 36 hours.
Yeah.
Everything that you need to make sure that you're not going to die, even as you still inject today and tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Bree's is one of 316 prescriptions for Suboxone given patients via the Care Zone van since it launched 18 months ago. Funding for the van, about $200,000 a year, is from the Kraft Center at Mass General. Program Director Dr. Elsie Taveras says the early data is exceeding expectations.
We shouldn't have been surprised that if you bring a program on demand to the population that needs it most and make it easy for them to access care, that it was going to be successful.
Taveras sends regular updates to her business, civic, and law enforcement contacts in those neighborhoods that agreed to host the van. Jay Walsh, who runs the Downtown North Association, says he sees the results, too.
Before, you'd have, you know, it's six or seven people that were under the influence of drugs leaning up against the wall, blocking access to the store.
Walsh looks across Causeway Street at the now empty front stoop of a convenience store. He credits the Care Zone van.
They're saving lives and giving people a chance to escape the world that they're in.
Except that treatment alone may not provide an escape route. It's hard to manage an illness like addiction if you don't have stable housing, food, and other basic needs. Take Bree. She did not show up for that Monday appointment, and Dr. Gaeta lost track of her for several weeks. But now Bree's back and talking about resuming treatment. For Here and Now, I'm Martha Biebinger.
Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Peter O'Dowd.
I'm Tanya Mosley. This is Here and Now.